on Friday mornings at this time. We conclude our busy week with one of the best there is out there in political humor and satire. It's our good friend Bill Melberg, a University of Illinois alum, and he's in Chicago. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Hi, Bill.
And good morning, boys and girls, moms and dads, and any and all cats and dogs who might be listening.
Bill, as you know, another jam-packed news week. And I don't even know where to begin. You got the Wienergate scandal. New York pizza summit between Sarah Palin and Donald Trump.
You betcha.
The final touchdown for the space shuttle Endeavor. Don't know whether to applaud. I did applaud, but cry as well.
Right.
The stormy weather. The bad economic news. Jobs report not so good. Boy, lots out there.
Well, Stevie, it has been another bad news week, which is why I thought it might be a fun idea today to play another round of Presidential Jeopardy. This time pitting three former presidential candidates against each other as they demonstrate their knowledge of political history.
Former presidential candidates, I take it you mean three losers?
Yes, three losers, but one of them could be a winner today.
Yeah.
So, Stevie, if you're ready to host former presidential candidate Jeopardy, I think our contestants are about to enter the studio. This is former presidential candidate Jeopardy! Now entering the studio are today's contestants. A U.S. Senator from Phoenix, Arizona, John McCain. A billionaire business person from Dallas, Texas, Ross Perot. And a former vice president from somewhere in Tennessee, Al Gore. And here's the host of former presidential candidate Jeopardy, Stevie J.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And welcome to former presidential candidate Jeopardy. First, let's meet our contestants. John McCain, you've run for president twice already. Are you ready to do it again?
Stevie, one never knows, my friend. One never knows.
Well, good luck if you do. And now let's meet our next contestant. His name, Ross Perot. Mr. Perot, you too are a two-time presidential loser.
Now, hold on there, Sonny. I might have lost two bids for the White House, but I'm a three-time billionaire. Follow me? Now, which one would you rather be?
Well, that's a good point. It's a good point, sir. Good point. Last but certainly not least, let's meet the former vice president of the United States, the man who nearly moved into the White House 10 years ago, Al Gore.
Stevie, I may have lost the White House, but I won the Academy Award and the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's see George Bush try winning either of those. And I bet I could beat him playing Jeopardy, too.
Well, gentlemen, it is truly great having all of you here this morning, and we're counting on your expertise to make this another exciting game. However, in the interest of political correctness, and so as not to embarrass any one of you, we won't be keeping score. We're just here to have fun. So, gentlemen, let's play Jeopardy. This morning, we'll be hearing some famous speeches. Your job would be to tell us who delivered them. And here are the categories. Wars, scandals, inaugural addresses, farewell speeches, sound bites, and what's that you say? We'll begin with John McCain. Senator?
Stevie, I'll take wars for $200, please.
This president's most famous speech was an address to a joint session of Congress just one day after the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. Here's an excerpt from his Day of Infamy speech.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. With confidence in our armed forces with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God.
John McCain?
Stevie, my grandfather, Admiral John S. McCain, Sr., was appointed as Commander of Naval Air Operations in the South Pacific shortly after that infamous attack on Pearl Harbor. 4 years later, he witnessed the surrender ceremony aboard the USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay. My grandfather, my father, my son, and yours truly all graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis. So I can tell you, my friend, that the president who gave that address to a joint session of Congress asking for a formal declaration of war against the Empire of Japan was none other than Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yes, that's absolutely correct, Senator McCain, and we thank you, sir, for your service, as well as that of your family, of course. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, your father and grandfather were the first father and son pair ever to achieve the rank of four-star admiral in the United States Navy. Is that right?
That's right, Stevie. And if I'm not mistaken, I still have the board. So I think I'll take What's That You Say for $400.
This half of a father and son presidential team gave this rather convoluted answer to a question from a Native American about tribal sovereignty. Listen carefully.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century, and how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that it's sovereign. I mean, you've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Okay.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
Let's go to John McCain.
Yikes.
Who is George H.W. Bush?
Oh, no, close, Senator, but you got the wrong one. You're thinking of your fellow Navy aviator. This president flew in the Texas Air National Guard. Mr. Perot.
Stevie?
Yep.
Stevie?
Yes, sir.
Yes, the question is, who is George W. Bush?
That's correct.
There's no H in there. Follow me. We're talking about Bush number 43, not Bush number 41.
That's right.
And for the record, old W actually gave the right answer to that question.
Yeah?
In fact, I have a chart here that shows the relationship between the federal government and Native American tribes. But that's the last question. And I'm not going to make any money talking about the question Senator McCain got wrong. I'm going to make money by getting the next question right, because I'm going for the big numbers. See what I'm saying? Now, listen up. I already have $400 because I got that last question right. That puts me $200 ahead of Senator McCain, who got the previous question right.
Mr. Perot, we understand how the game's played, and we already know you're in the lead. So rather than pulling out your charts, would you just pick out your next question?
All right, I'll pick one. Hold on to your horses. No need to get all huffy about it. No need to get your dander up. So let me take a look here at the board. Stevie, I think I'll take scandals for $1,000. And I bet this one's going to be about Bill Clinton and you-know-who, that woman, what's her name?
All right. This president defended himself at the height of a well-known presidential scandal by making this memorable comment.
And I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination, because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
Mr. Perot, you're up.
Who is Bill Clinton?
No, that's wrong. Vice President Al Gore, do you know?
Wait one doggone minute. What do you mean that's wrong? It had to be Bill Clinton.
No?
He's the one who had that big scandal with that woman. What's her name? And he's the one who picked this dunderhead standing next to me to be his vice president. So are you seriously telling me I'm wrong?
Yes, I am, Mr. Perot. I'm sorry. Vice President Al Gore, please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Stevie. And may I remind Mr. Perot, I'm on the floor with him once before in the Larry King Show, and I'm going to do it here again tonight.
You mean this morning?
Whatever. In any case, the question is, who was Richard Nixon?
That's right. President Nixon made that infamous comment, "I am not a crook," at a press conference in November of 1973. It was the height of the Watergate scandal. And since you have the board and $1,000, Vice President Gore, why don't you go ahead and pick your next question?
All right. Thank you, Stevie. By the way, is it just me or does anyone else think it's getting kind of warm in here? Anyhow, let's see. I'll take sound bites for $600.
Okay. This president is perhaps best known for these three words.
Raise taxes and I'll say no, and they'll push and I'll say no, and they'll push again and I'll say to them, read my lips.
Al Gore?
Who is George H.W. Bush, number 41, the man Bill Clinton and I defeated in 1992?
You are correct, sir. And Vice President Al Gore, you really seem to know how to make money because you're now in the lead with $1,600.
Wow. I guess I'm just lucky or a genius or both. I mean, after all, I did win the Nobel Prize, even though I got C's and D's in college science.
What kind of science classes did you take?
Earth sciences, Stevie. You know, geology, meteorology, climate studies, all that kind of junk. The stuff puts you to sleep in lecture halls.
Well, you seem to have done pretty well in climate studies, despite your poor grades in college. And when we come back, we'll be putting all three of you to the test with Final Jeopardy. So, former presidential candidates Al Gore, Ross Perot, and John McCain, put your thinking caps on because we'll be back with Final Jeopardy right after these important messages. Stay tuned.
Journal report.
And we are back with our former presidential candidate Jeopardy. Our contestants, as you know, former presidential candidates Al Gore, John McCain, and Ross Perot. And gentlemen, it's time for Final Jeopardy. This well-known chief executive challenged his opponents to tape his conversations. And here he is.
I don't believe there's any cloud that hangs over me.
Governor, well, getting back Governor, to that, can we...
I think there's nothing but sunshine hanging over me. Let me answer that. True question is, and by the way, I should say, if anybody wants to tape my conversations, go right ahead. Feel free to do it. I appreciate anybody who wants to tape me openly and notoriously, and those who feel like they want to sneakily and wear taping devices, I would remind them that it kind of smells like Nixon and Watergate.
Players, you have 30 seconds. Good luck.
Quiet. A familiar sounding voice. Would you be quiet over there? I'm trying to write down my answer.
Oh, who could that be? I recognize that voice too.
You pipe down. Told Larry King to keep you quiet.
Players, pens down. Let's see what you've written down. Vice President Al Gore.
Stevie, who was Richard Nixon?
No, sir. Billionaire Ross Perot?
Who is Bill Clinton and what's her name, that woman?
No, sir. Senator John McCain.
Stevie, my friend, who is former Senator Gary Hart of Colorado?
No, I'm sorry, gentlemen. Once again, you're all losers. And so is the gentleman in that audio clip, former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, who invited people to tape his conversations just one day before he was arrested 2.5 years ago. But we thank you all for playing with us this morning, and we hope to see you back here again soon with another edition of Former Presidential Candidate Jeopardy. Until next time, I am Stevie J, thanking you for listening and wishing you a really nice day. And back with our political humor setters, Bill Wilberg. I invite them. I mean, it is just off the charts. It's just off the charts.
I have to hand it to Rod Blagojevich. He's He's quite a character.
Yeah, he is.
I tell you what, it's just hard to resist.
If anybody wants to tape my conversations, go right ahead. Feel free to do it. I appreciate anybody who wants to tape me openly and notoriously. And those who feel like they want to sneakily and wear, you know, taping devices, I would remind them that it kind of smells like Nixon and Watergate.
Is that like sovereignalities or...
Right.
If I were in front of the mic 24/7, I'm sure I'd have some guffaws.
Right.
Well, I think that's one jury I think I'd like to be on right now.
Is it really? I mean, that thing, he was on the stand for 5 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long time.
Rambling.
He brings his violin with him every day.
I don't know. I think, do you think he's gonna get more than he got last time?
You know, all he needs is one juror.
Yeah.
Let him off the hook.
That's right.
And it's been quite a show.
And I hope they wouldn't do three times, would they? I mean, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Who is the woman on the George Ryan trial that tried to sell her blouse on eBay right after they got done? She was trying to make money on the thing.
One other thing, by the way, that clip from George W. Bush.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we sort of chuckle at the way he said it, but what he said was exactly right.
Was it really?
Yeah. He wasn't saying anything at all outlandish.
It sounded just really dumb, though. It really did.
Yeah.
But if he was right with the content, it sounded weird because he kept using sovereign.
Yeah. Sovereignty entities.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to laugh or we'll cry. This job's number's so bad. Yeah. There's so many things, and you know what? I haven't even talked about Wienergate because I don't know what to say, except there's more there. This guy's telling us, and I don't know what you do with something like that. But boys, I got a lot of coverage this week.
Yes.
It really,
a zillion double entendres we could use.
Oh
there.
My! I know. I'm glad we're not. I'm glad we're not. Thank you. All right.
I was going to have Bill Clinton comment on all that, but I thought that might be inappropriate.
Glad you didn't. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Well, Bill, it's a great way to laugh and finish our week. I really appreciate your time and talent. And if you want to know about Bill Melberg, he's at AnEveningWithThePresidents.com. His live shows get standing ovations everywhere he goes. Hey, pokes fun at both sides.
And he kind of stinks like Watergate.
Richard Nixon, some of the great parodies when you sang Yesterday.
I am not a crook.
Well, he sings Yesterday with Richard Nixon, and it's just classic.
Okay.
It's just, his stuff is so good. And EveningWithThePresidents.com. Bill, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Ask you wow, everybody.
Ask you wow. Bill Melberg, political humor satirist, joins us every week at 8:30. From 8:30 to 9, I hope you get a few laughs out of it like we do, because it's great to laugh. And
he's
good. We need to laugh. Boy, we need to laugh these days. All right, markets are down. Jobs numbers very disappointing. 100,000 less hires than expected. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Stay with us. It's Patty and Linda next, and Mary Lynn and Diane from noon to 3, Tay and Jay 3 to 6. Congratulations, Linda Reynolds Monticello, who knew our phrase that pays, no static. Congratulations, you get the big hits weekend in St. Louis into July. Thanks for listening. I'm Stevie J. Have a great weekend.